keys of the kingdom of heaven. Not just any keys. Now, there are some of you who drive some really nice cars that if you gave me those keys and you said, whose car is this? Or who do people say this car belongs to? I would say, well, so-and-so, of course. But what if that person then said, that car shall no longer be mine. I am going to give you the keys to that. And that car will be yours. You will possess what you did not possess before. Then who would they say the car belonged to? Me. Because I have the keys. And what God is saying in this hour is, I am releasing myself to such a degree and in such a dimension that you will literally have the keys of heaven. And that you will begin to orchestrate a coming forth and a coming out of my kingdom here on earth that looks like nothing you've ever seen before. It will be unusual, it will be unconventional, and it will make some uncomfortable until they too have experienced me for who I am. You see, there was an experiencing of who he was this morning. For the one that said, I am weak, he said, here's my keys of strength. Now, what's happening in this season and time is he's not just giving you strength for the day. He's giving you the strength for the journey. He's giving you the keys of the kingdom so that you don't have to keep coming back to the same place of weariness and tiredness and defeatedness. That once and for all, you can settle the issue that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and God never gets weary and God never gets tired. God never goes on vacation. God never becomes disobedient, but he's empowered by the Spirit, for he is the Spirit, and the Spirit now empowers you. You are now able to walk by might and by faith, by sight, and by lack thereof. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful, not just to have strength for the moment, but strength for the millennium? Boy, talk about getting young all over again. Makes you, in your heart, begin to think about Isaiah 40 and verse 31. They that on the Lord, how will they renew their strength? In this season and time, it's by literally giving you a key. And you will literally be able to once and for all open the prison that continues to take you captive in one cycle after another. And he will open that prison and set you free. And the beauty about the key is it not only fits your lock, but it fits his lock and her lock and their lock and their lock and their lock. And what happens is the body of Christ begins to gather around the altar of God's presence. And in the presence of God, there's a fullness of joy. And first this one praying for that one begins to open up the prison and set the captive free. And suddenly the weak come out and say, I am strong. Suddenly this one opens the key to the one who was blind, and suddenly the blind now can see. Suddenly the one that was sick has the prison door opened by someone that got well, and suddenly they burst forth and burst out into healing. Suddenly one who's walking in financial provision walks up to the one who's imprisoned by poverty, and he takes the key and opens the prison, and out they come into a new discipline, a new paradigm, and a new produce as a result. See, the keys are what's powerful. Now, I think what's happened here this morning is found in 2 Corinthians. So those of you who are following along at home in your Bibles, turn with us to 2 Corinthians. And for those who are wondering where we're at in today's order, we are at the sermon. And we are at the place of the sermon called the altar. Meaning that this pastor is saying, in conclusion. But how many of you know that any good sermon has more than one conclusion? Some of you were busy looking in Scripture and didn't hear what I just said, so let me go back and ask you again. How many of you know that with any good sermon, there's always more than one good conclusion? And how many of you know when I don't think you're being able to hear me that I'll say it again and again and again in different ways? And now suddenly the hearing is improved. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul has a vision of this new day. Paul himself has carried a weakness in his body. He calls it a thorn. Paul begins to recognize that something is happening in him and that something is happening in the body of Christ. Paul is beginning to recognize that he is a catalyst. Do you know that in every service there is a catalyst? Someone who will push beyond their thorn and find the rose, the lily of the valley. How many of you know that in every service there might be a song, there might be a spoken word that is the catalyst? And the catalyst serves as the key. And the key opens the door into His presence where we find the fullness of joy. How many of you would like to start coming to church and start being the catalyst? You would like to be the one that when the doors are opened, you're here. And not only are you here, but the way that you worship, I mean, it's like an infection. It spreads on those around you. You walk in and you're so filled with joy, it just flows over. You walk in and you're walking in such a power of peace, it begins to clear up confusion in those around you. You walk up and you walk in and you're lifting others up by the mere presence of your being in that row. And what Paul is recognizing here is that his thorn has confirmed to him that he is a catalyst. That while he has been very weak, it's weakness that God desires. It's weakness that God rests upon. It's weakness that God resides over. It's weakness that God works through. That it's your weakness that God wants. Sometimes when God comes to us and He begins to speak to us in a service like this, in which there's strong conviction, we begin to magnify weakness in ourselves. And we begin to feel uncomfortable. And we mistake God revealing to us our weakness for condemnation and shame. And we begin to put our head down. And we misunderstand that this is the process of God lifting us up. You're not going to tell God anything about your weakness He doesn't already know. In fact, He chose you because you is weak. And sometimes you and I are too strong to need Him. And so He'll have to work through our weakness. He'll let our weakness come to the surface and be full blown and let it just wear us out. So that we finally need God. See, if you look throughout history and you study the culture of the church, you find the church in its hour of most persecution and weakness in need of God. But have you noticed throughout church history that when the church stops being persecuted and starts feeling strong, that their tendency is to grow lack and complacent, indifferent, and disobedient. And ladies and gentlemen, it's more than just a church. It's a house. And more than just a house, it's a home. And more than just a home, it can be a person in that home who begins to walk in their weakness and not in His strength. And so in a service like this, God is going to reveal to you where you're weak. Not just to put you down. Not just to make you feel further condemnation. Not for you to sit there and feel uncomfortable and just say, "Oh, this is not working for me. It's too loud, it's too long, it's too much." Part of the reason why it seems a little bit long and a little bit loud and a lot too much is because you're struggling addressing the issues that will move you from living off of someone else's faith to experiencing Him up close and personal so you can have some faith. And what we've seen throughout church history is that the church can grow complacent to a place that they would rather be comfortable than convicted. Now, you can build people, or you can build a large group of people called the church on comfort. Where we grow more concerned with how comfortable you are than our concern for is His presence comfortable in moving here. And what we've got to watch for is through history, we've got to watch and make sure that we don't allow ourselves to make ourselves so comfortable that we don't embrace the conviction. And the conviction comes for the purpose of not just helping you and I to see that we're weak, and not just for you and I to receive some strength so we can say, "I'm now strong." But He shows us these things so that He can be our strength. Now, Paul writes here and he realizes he's this catalyst and that he's vulnerable as a result of it. How many of you have a weakness? How many of you know someone that's weak? How many of you know someone who's weak but didn't raise their hand and say, "I have a weakness"? Just stare and glare at him real fast. Paul's saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, "To keep me from becoming conceited or prideful or selfish because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." And see, last night, I want to clear up some things. For those of you that were not able to be here, you're able to experience some of last night's outreach called the main event. No, Saturday Night Live. Eventually, I'll get to the truth. But I'm thinking about that it was the main event. But last night, this building was so packed with teenagers that there was literally almost no places for them to sit, that they had to stand along the walls. And when they gave the altar call, and can I tell you that your youth pastor preached one of the greatest youth sermons I've heard in a long time. He did a tremendous job. Fabulous job. And since I wrote his sermon, I just feel even blessed as you clap for him. I didn't, but I wished I would have, because it was that great. And we know of last night at least 23 young people came down to the altar and gave their hearts to the Lord for the very first time. Praise God. And last night he brought the wall. And last night, for those that were out there and watched your pastor finally overcome the wall, it was a moment for me that I'll never forget. In fact, I thought about resigning from the ministry this morning, because I'm not sure it gets any better after this. But then it was time to head for the bull. Because he brought a mechanical bull last night. And you know, as I was about to get on the bull, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I move in threes. And I want you to be an example. And he spoke to me about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so as I got on, Pastor Steve spoke and said something to the man to aid in God's illustration of teaching. And so the bull went faster than the bull had ever even thought or imagined, because he was renewed with God's strength. And in 3 seconds, I was being still before God Almighty. And see, in that moment, it's like Paul here who had a thorn. There were those that came up and mocked me for the 3 seconds I rode. But they didn't realize that I was willing to be weak for those 3 seconds, so that people might see 1 second for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes when you're spiritual, you're misunderstood. Can I have a good amen? Let's get back to the Word. It's much safer there. And so, see here, this is what Paul is saying. 3 times I rode the bull, I pleaded with the Lord to take this thing from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made what? Perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am vulnerable, for when I am weak, then it's in that vulnerability and weakness that I become strong as a result of God releasing His power and presence through me. Amen. Now, here's your sermon point. God finds something precious in and about our weakness. That's a key. That's a key this morning that heaven is releasing. You and I, as Paul, have mourned over these things, these thorns, these insecurities, these things that keep us from being sufficient. We've wept over them. We've grown depressed over them. Unlike Paul, we've not just asked 3 times for God to remove this weakness from us. We've begged Him over 3 million times and counting, take this weakness from me. Do you remember as a kid growing up when McDonald's used to have that sign out front under the M, and they would change it weekly and tell you how many different people had been served? Until now it's become so many times they can't even keep a running number up there. How many of you feel that way about the number of times you've asked God to relieve you of your weakness? You feel like that. When you sit down and you begin to talk to people and you really begin to share yourself, it's almost impossible for you to share anything about yourself that's good or that's strong, because you are so hemmed in and so restricted and so limited by your weakness. And so therefore, you assume that God can do nothing else or nothing more through you or for you as a result of your weakness. And yet in this hour, God is releasing to you that the key to keep in mind is that there's something precious about your weakness. There's something precious about your weakness. That it's by your very weakness that He chose you. And it's not going to make sense. It's going to confound the wise. But ultimately, it's going to cause everyone, including yourself, to boast of His work and not yours. And so even now what's happening this morning is that people are being sought out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is coming to individuals and He's speaking to them in and at their place of weakness. And how many of you know someone that has one? How many of you think sermons are so much easier when we're talking about someone else? There's just like this energy and you can really go there and you can really see all the things that's being said. How many of you like it when God convicts you about what's wrong in someone else's life? Isn't that much more fun? But how many of you know that beyond that, asking who do you or who do others say I am, He always gets down to, okay, now, in this area of weakness, in this area, who do you say I am? He doesn't ask, who do you say you are? Because He's heard all of that as long as He would ever need to know that. He's almost saying to you, tell me something I don't know. Don't tell me about the weakness that is precious to me and the weakness that caused me to move to you and to choose you. Tell me about my strength. Tell me about me. Tell me that I am the Son of the Living. I want you to just stand back to your feet. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to recognize that this is a very special Sunday. This is a very special moment. This is a very special hour. That the Holy Spirit is not magnifying your weakness for the purpose of it becoming again another thorn to jab you in the side and to cause you further misery. In essence, the reason that thorn is jabbing you in the side this morning is to move you from the something He's called precious, which is your weakness, into the something that He's called His provision, which is His strength. There's a powerful dynamic of revelation knowledge in this room today. And just as one of the keys was that something is precious about your weakness, God is releasing keys to people's hearing right now. And in this setting and in this service, I want you just to begin to raise your hands. God is going to reveal to you strategies and insights and ideas. God is going to begin to speak the word of the Lord that says to you, not just do I command from thee a shout of praise, but I command of thee to just simply be still and know that I am God. God is wanting you to experience the fact that He is exalting Himself on your land, your property, your earth, your life, to such a degree that you're going to stop recognizing your weakness as inability, and you're going to start seeing in that weakness His ability. And you're going to start embracing that weakness, and you're going to start rejoicing over that weakness, and you're going to start walking out on that weakness today, never ever to return. Today is a day of corporate and personal release. Catch it. Catch it. There's release in the air. Not just relief to feel better, but I'm talking about a release that once and for all will give you the key to overcoming some things. Go ahead, church. Begin to allow yourself not to have the music lead you, but now begin to learn the discipline to let the Spirit lead you. You, would you please step out? I'd like to pray over you. Today is your day.